បាទសូមស្វាគមន៍លោកអ្នកនាងមកកាន់កិច្ចសម្ភាសន៍ពិសេសនៅក្នុងរាត្រីនេះបាទវាគ្មិនរបស់យើងគឺលោក Gary Frenchy អ្នកឆ្លើយឆ្លងព័ត៌មានរបស់សេតវិមាននៃក្រុមហ៊ុន Next New Network បាទលោកនឹងចូលរួមពិភាក្សាទៅលើប្រធានបទស្តីអំពីប្រយោជន៍នៃទំនាក់ទំនងកម្ពុជានិងសហរដ្ឋអាមេរិកបាទប្រសិនបើលោកអ្នកនាងមានសំណួរឬយោបល់សូមសរសេរនៅក្នុងកម្មវិធីផ្សាយរបស់យើងតាមអាសយដ្ឋាន www.facebook.com/withoutfearoffavorkh បាទនៅពេលនេះយើងបានភ្ជាប់លោក Gary Frenchy ហើយបាទHello Mr. Gary Frenchy, how are you? សូមជម្រាបសួរ
ពីភាសាខ្មែរ Good, good. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Mr. Gary Frenchy. Thank you for joining us tonight. And it's a night time in Cambodia. First, I would like to come across your works on, you know, Cambodia through the Next News Network and your Facebook page. If I remember correctly, one of your earliest reports covers the proposal renamed National Road 4 in honor of President Donald Trump.That piece drew nearly 3 million views worldwide, and you even mentioned Soy Sapip from DPA's news. It is really caught your attention at the time when the Cambodia-Thailand border conflict was heating up. Later on Facebook Live, you spoke about Michael Afaro being the first alert to your story. He went to travel to Cambodia himself, exposing the eviction of villagers by the Thai soldier and calling for the return of 18 Cambodian soldier. From that point, your coverage of Cambodia became much more visible, and you often appear to support Cambodia position. So please tell me, how did you get into this kind of news reporting on Cambodia, Mr. Gary Frenchy?
Well, it started, you know, I was traveling to Texas, and I was going to Congressman Ron Paul's 90th birthday party, and I got a phone call from Michael Alfaro, and he said, you're not going to believe this, but Cambodia is planning to name a major highway after Donald Trump. And I said, this is amazing news. He also brought up the fact that Donald Trump was going to be nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. So naturally, because of the nature of our work here in the United States, this is big news. When a nation decides to name a major highway after a U.S. president, I said, we need to let the American people know. Little did I know that in the background, all of this conflict was brewing with respect to the border of Cambodia and Thailand. And as I grew to understand the conflict more, I recognized that there were some severe abuses of human rights that were taking place, that there were ceasefires that were being violated. People were suffering. And I said, well, you know, we need to elevate this this news so people in the United States can understand exactly what's happening. So it was good news that also had a backstory of bad news, and we had to make sure the American people were made aware of it.
Thank you so much. So what motivated you to increase your reporting on Cambodia to align yourself with its cause?
Well, in my conversations with Michael, it was clear that something needed to be done, that we needed to put eyes on the situation there in Cambodia. Michael and I were in discussions and figure out exactly the best method to do so. Michael decided that he would take it upon himself, and he would find a way to get to Cambodia, and he would talk to the deputy prime minister. He would go to the border and put a camera down there and shine a light on what's happening. So as Michael went there and his reporting became more visible, it provided an opportunity for us to highlight what Michael was doing to amplify that message. So, you know, Michael's informed me that most of the people in Cambodia really get their news from Facebook. Now, I primarily present my news on YouTube or on X. So when Michael said, listen, you got to post these videos and these reports onto Facebook so that people can see them, that's what we did. And it was remarkable to witness that with every subsequent report, the amount of views, the amount of comments, the amount of likes and shares started to just grow exponentially. So I realized that this is something that is really important to the Cambodian people, and that we need to maintain the reporting so that they can find out exactly what's happening. And also, not just for the people of Cambodia, but we need to make sure that people in America understood what the stakes were. So it just became evident that this wasn't, it was more than just the story of a highway. It was more than the story of a Nobel Peace Prize. But when Michael went to the border and he showed the barbed wire, he showed the families that were displaced, it was clear that this message needed to continue. We needed to continue covering it. And then as we continued to uncover it, we found out, you know, how China is involved with weapons contracts and the double dealing that we discovered going behind Donald Trump's back, especially with respect to, you know, these 18 soldiers are still in captivity. You know, how come they haven't been released yet? So when Donald Trump goes and says, listen, guys, you better play nice or we're going to tariff you both. And then, you know, people come to the table, but yet they still hold these soldiers. And then, as we saw just the other day in that village, you had the villagers out there with the sticks, and you had the Cambodian, the Thailand soldiers out there in full military gear, you know, threatening to spray the people with sewage. You know, it's just like
water.
Toilet water. And it's like, you know, why would they, like, okay, so sure, maybe they're not going to be shooting guns, but they're going to be shooting toilet water at people. I mean, it's a disgrace. And that's why we want to make sure that the message got all the way up to the White House, to Donald Trump, and clearly our reporting has done so.
So have you seen that in the world, that, you know, during the conflict of the neighboring country, and the people and the military allow you know, its citizen to bring all the sewage truck to spray on another side of the neighboring country's people. Have you seen that in the world? Have done that?
I've never seen that. It's clearly an act of humiliation that they're attempting to do, basically treating the Cambodian people like sewage. And it really speaks to the mindset of Thailand and their soldiers and how they view the people of Cambodia. They just see them as sewage, and that they should be drenched in toilet water as a result of the actions there.
Mr. Gary, Michael Afaro traveled to Cambodia to see the situation for the first hand in Cambodia. So do you have any plan to do a similar trip and report directly from the ground like Michael?
I would love to be able to travel there. Sometimes my schedule and budgeting doesn't always allow for it, because I am domestically based. Michael has a little bit more ability to travel, because I do report from my studio. We have a dedicated production schedule. But if the time allows for it, then we'll certainly be going there.
So you're talking about budget things. So what kind of budget working out with you if you go to Cambodia? You need any sponsor or something?
Well, it would be helpful if we did have a sponsor. Now, we do not want to take any government money. We don't want to take any money from special interest groups. If there was a sponsor, it would have to come from the people. We do not want any visual that could assume that we're biased or that we're part of a propaganda team. You know, everything I do, especially in the United States, you know, we're supported by our viewers. And if our viewers support the work, then we will go to where the viewers want us to. So it really just comes down to that.
Yeah. So if the Thai sponsor you, will you decide to go to Thailand?
Well, you know, I've been told that we've been blacklisted from Thailand, so I don't think that I would find favor in Thailand. I certainly don't want to go there and end up in the back of a van and never to see my family again, just simply because I'm, you know, reporting on the conflict. So, you know, sometimes you just have to. You have to look at the situation. You have to understand both sides. If they were to invite me there, I don't know if I honestly would go, because at this point, I do not trust what is coming out of Thailand.
Why not? Because Thailand,
I mean,
the country Thailand promote themselves is a country of smile. So it should be smile, right?
So well, not if you're spraying sewage on people.
So, Gary, how long have you known Michael Alfaro, and how has your connection with him influenced the story you have chosen to highlight?
I've known Michael for a very long time, going back to probably 2018, maybe. I first met him when he was working as a fundraiser for the Trump campaign, and that's when he introduced me to Donald Trump personally through an event that took place in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So I've known Michael for a long time. He's a big supporter of, obviously, the Trump family. He works closely with them. So I've known him for a long time.
Mr. Gary, you know, this is a transition of the question that we're going to ask tonight. You have also reported the symbolic gesture surrounding the Cambodian and the U.S. relation. If Cambodia were to rename the National Road 4 to President Trump Highway, what kind of impact do you think that you would have, both domestically and internationally?
Well, I think it's a symbolic gesture that points to the impact that Donald Trump has globally. If you look across the world right now, President Trump is working to secure peace, with Russia and Ukraine, with Kazakhstan and Azerbaijan, and of course, as we're seeing with Cambodia and Thailand, President Trump is working tirelessly as the peace president to do so. So, you know, we talked earlier about the Nobel Peace Prize, but you know, a Nobel Peace Prize is something that you receive. It's a great honor, but something of a highway that lasts forever, right? I mean, of course, when you receive a Nobel Peace Prize, it's always with you, but something of an impact of a highway is quite significant, because people live on that highway. People have their address is on that highway, and every time that they have to write a letter or tell people where they live, they're always going to write President Donald Trump Highway. So it's going to basically sink into the consciousness of the people of Cambodia. But most importantly, it's also when people look at it from abroad and they see like an entire nation has dedicated a massive artery of transport, it's a great honor. And I think people are going to really enjoy seeing that.
Yeah, because this road was built and supported by the U.S. Fundings from 1959 to 1969 during the Cold War, between Russia, China, and the U.S. at that time. So people in Cambodia also want to see that happen too, you know. So if that happened, what do you think about the U.S., the White House itself, and also the Americans people? What do you think that going to be look like?
Well, I think it'll be celebrated. I think the White House receiving notice of an entire highway named after President Trump is a moment to celebrate. And I think you'll see President Trump come out and he'll thank the people for doing so. With respect to America, it'll be interesting to see the response. I can't tell you how the American people will respond. The truth is that the American people know very little about what's happening in Cambodia. Mm. So that's why it's so important for us to continue to report and to cover these matters so that the American people can learn about it and that they can form their own opinion. I do believe that there's a massive contingency of American people who voted for Donald Trump. And for them to learn that would be a blessing. I think they would celebrate it.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Gary, you know, in late August, Michael posed a question on his Facebook about whether the U.S. should build a military base in Cambodia, which would go against the Cambodian constitution. What do you think about this kind of view proposal?
Well, if the Cambodian constitution says that it's not permissible, then that's the law. You can't do it. However, if the Cambodian constitution can be amended and the people support such a move, then it could happen. It really comes down to, you know, the mechanics with respect to, you know, the law and the constitution. So it's hard to say if that is a possibility. I mean, Michael's simply asking a question. Yeah. And the one way that we can get into topics is just by asking questions and starting the dialogue to have that discussion. Mm-hmm. So it remains to be seen. However, we do know that the Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, is planning a trip to Cambodia. It looks like it might happen in November. Yeah. So who knows if that those discussions will take place. It's interesting, mm-hmm. but the fact that the true fact here is that we have Thailand, who is a supposed ally of the United States. And when they're doing weapons deals with China for submarines and Sweden for fighter jets, it seems kind of odd, because if we are true allies, then wouldn't they traditionally be going to United States for these types of armaments? But yet they're not. So that raises questions about Thailand's authenticity for peace while they're still having a conflict on the border, supposedly, you know, with the ceasefire. But in the background, what are they doing? They're buying weapons from other countries that they should be buying from the United States. And then there's the question also of what's going on with China. I think it's interesting to note that we're finding out now after my reporting on this matter. When the Cambodian king went to China and met with Xi, President Xi, for my sources, I was told it was simply a photo op. It was simply just so they could say, hey, we were, you know, the China says, okay, here we are, we're going to talk to them, but there was no subsequent teeth or discussion of what's going on the border. And now we're learning, after our report, after we called out the communist Chinese for this, that now they're going to pledge $3 million to help, you know, rebuild the border. So that's a direct impact of the work that we've been doing to raise a light on this, because we know China's paying attention. We know Thailand's paying attention. So they have to counterbalance whatever it is what we're talking about, because we've exposed them. And that's the beauty of the free press here in the United States.
Mr. Gary, like you said, Mr. Secretary Peter Hegseth will travel to Cambodia in November. Do you have any direct message to him on this matter?
Well, I think that he should go to the places that Michael went. I think that he should inspect those locations for himself and discover the human rights abuses for these families that are suffering. Mm. I mean, whole villages are being cut in half by barbed wire with Thailand soldiers on the other side threatening to spray them with sewage and toilet water. So I think Secretary Hegseth needs to go there, see for himself what is going on. And I think he also needs to investigate the weapons contracts that are being done with China on Thailand's side. Because why is Thailand buying from China? Why is Thailand buying from Sweden? And for what reason? So I think that's what he needs to investigate. So my message to him is go to the border, investigate for yourself, and then also investigate the weapons contracts.
Mr. Gary, you know, let me inject to these points a little bit regarding to the Gripens that Sweden sell for Gripen fighting jets to Thailand. And do you think that the White House should question or postpone the Sweden from selling this four fighting jet to Thailand during Thailand having a very big trouble with Cambodian, and they use the Gripen to bomb F-16 to bomb Cambodia so far? Do you think the White House have the ability to do that?
It's unclear if the White House can interject inside a weapons contract between two nations. However, you know, given the power and strength of Donald Trump and the United States, I'm sure that Donald Trump could just pick up the phone and say, listen, Sweden, cancel the contract or else this is going to happen. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of leverage that the United States has with European allies. Of course, if you recall, in the recent NATO summit, President Trump was able to get NATO to pay up 5% for all the nations, and they said yes. So there is a tremendous amount of leverage that President Trump does have with NATO countries, and given the fact that Sweden is a part of all these nations, I think President Trump does have the leverage. The question is, will he use it?
Mm. But so far, you know, the defense minister of Sweden, that I don't forget, I have his quote in front of me, by saying his name is Pell Johnson. So he said, this is a quote, right? So this depends bilateral cooperation between Sweden and Thailand. Thailand has the rights to use Gripen according to the international law. Do you agree with that?
Well, does Thailand have the right? Sure, maybe they do have the right, but should they do it is the bigger question. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're using American F-16s to attack, you know, the border, should they do that? Of course not. But they did it. So, you know, we need to have strong leadership step up and make sure that these things do not happen and that the people of Cambodia, especially on the border there, are made whole and that their homes are restored, the temples are rebuilt, the schools are rebuilt so that people can live in peace. And that's really what it comes down to. The more weapons that you buy, the only reason people buy weapons is because they want to use them in an offensive or perhaps defensive reasoning. But why should we continue this military buildup? What we need to have is peace. We need to have conversation. We need to have trade and commerce and people shaking hands and not spraying toilet water.
Gary, how do you assess, you know, the current state's tension between Cambodia and Thailand? Do you think this is the invasion or it's just like an armed conflict? Because like international news, okay, haven't distinguished this kind of conflict yet, whether an invasion or a dispute, border dispute.
Well, here's what I believe. I believe that China has a vested interest in seeing the region destabilized because President Trump has exerted himself on the world stage. He goes all over the world and he's creating peace deals. He's creating trade deals. He's imposing tariffs and other nations are falling in line with the United States and their foreign policy and trade agenda. Now, if China can work in the background privately and seed chaos in any of these nations, like in Thailand and the Cambodia border or other nations, then what they can do is they can test the resolve of President Trump and his foreign policy without doing it directly, basically using Thailand as a puppet nation to create tension. And then once the tension is created, then President Trump can, they're going to watch how President Trump responds. And then they can gauge their reaction in the future for other conflicts based on the tests that they've created at the Thailand-Cambodia border or other nations. So while China may be playing nice on the surface, in the background, they can sow discord and chaos by encouraging these types of actions on the border only to test Donald Trump. And what have we seen now? Well, we've already seen a congressional delegation go to Cambodia and they are going to investigate. Now we're seeing the Secretary of Defense go to Cambodia to investigate. And this, I mean, this is a direct result of the reporting that Michael has done, that I have done, as well as because of China's, I believe, backroom work to create the chaos on that border. So these are all footsteps of President Trump responding, in my opinion, to the situation.
Mr. Gary, within 18 Cambodian soldiers still being captured by Thailand, still being held and castled and imprisoned, all the 18 captivity. How do you think the situation is shaping Thailand's image in the eye of international community?
Well, it shows them as the aggressor. It shows them as having no mercy. These soldiers should be released. The White House, President Trump, should demand their release. I don't think there's any good reason that they should be there to begin with. You know, these are war crimes. Release the prisoners, let them go back to their families, and let's create peace. Let's have negotiations. Let's discuss trade and commerce and goodwill rather than the longer that those soldiers stay in captivity, the longer that the tensions will continue to rise and people will have a negative reaction. So I believe those directly from the White House, they need to amplify the message. So when like Pete Hegseth, hopefully by the time Pete Hegseth gets there, the Secretary of Defense gets there, those soldiers will have been released. But until then, it only creates another point of conflict.
Mm-hmm. But do you know, like Thailand would think that these 18 soldiers to be captured is so much like proud by the Thais, some extremist group in Bangkok. And they are really proud. They are really happy that the Thailand captured 18 Cambodian. And also there's a lot of like triumph, cheer when one of the guy, he's like bring like about more than 10 Subic truck to spray on the Cambodian villager. So you think this is a proud or it's just like violating to the ceasefire?
Well, I think it does violate the ceasefire to an extent. I mean, you know, depending on what the terms of the ceasefire were, but I think it's really just an act of humiliation. It's an act of superiority that they want to continue to maintain that they have over the Cambodian people. And it's really a sad state of affairs that we have this situation going on. They want to humiliate Cambodia. They want to make Cambodia underneath them and remind them that they are the superior nation for whatever reason. And it's time for that to stop. It's time for people to, you know, to get along and to have peace in commerce and trade.
Mr. Gary, you know, after the president reduced tariff on Cambodia's goods to 19%, Cambodia has ordered 10 Boeing aircraft from the United States, while Sweden sold 4 Gripen to Thailand. Then in July, Thailand reportedly deploys, you know, F-16 and Gripen to strike against Cambodia. How do you interpret this kind of move? You know, one is buying more aircraft, civil aircraft from America, and the other side is buying the fighting jet to kill or to kill the people in the border.
What I think you're seeing here is a shift in alliances. For a long time, Thailand has been known as an ally to the United States. Well, now maybe they're more of an ally to China. And Cambodia now becoming a closer ally to the United States. And then when Pete Hegseth goes there, maybe he will talk about creating a base for the United States to make Cambodia safe again. So I think that what you're seeing here is a shift in foreign policy by both nations, one going to China, one going to America.
So what is your advice for Cambodia building strong and trustworthy relationship with America? What Cambodia should do?
Well, I think peace begins with conversations. Peace mm-hmm. begins with commerce and trade. And the more trade that you can initiate with the United States and the United States with Cambodia, the stronger the relationship becomes. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, it's trade that builds up a nation. It's the goods that a nation can provide another nation that creates a bond with that other country. So the more that we can initiate trade routes and commerce, the stronger the relationship will be. So you know what I say? I say buy made in America.
Buy made in America. So there's a lot of like goods right now import from America to Cambodia. Cambodia start allowing even like 0% from America to enter Cambodia, like news car and all that. So how Cambodia should do to, you know, make more kind of trade connection to America, from America to Cambodia, Cambodia to America?
Well, it comes down to the manufacturing base in Cambodia. You know, what are the main exports? What are the main manufacturing elements that do come out of Cambodia? It comes down to the people who are making those items. It comes down to the businesses that are creating them to create the relationships with the American trade groups so that those items can be transported to the United States and back and forth. So it really comes down to, you know, those individuals to have to make those, to make those moves to strengthen those relationships.
As you know, America is a well-known champion of democracy and human rights and also and all like that. You know, Cambodia so far doesn't have very good reputation very much about respecting human rights and democracy. Still, the main opposition leader, Kem Sokha, and other, I mean, political conscience, political prisoner is still locked up in the country. So in order to build good relationship and with America, can Cambodia clean all its mess up a little bit in the country in order to prove international community and also like America that, you know, to show that Cambodia is at real peace, inside peace, in order to maintain its prosperity to outside, to build good trade, to make all the international community to trust that Cambodia, you know, not only just trying to stop fighting the ceasefire, respect the ceasefire, but also Cambodian clear a mess like judicial system, corruption, money laundering, scamming online, and also like political of conscience, political prisoner is still locked up. You know, Mr. Kem Sokha, the main opposition party leader, is still being locked up in the house arrest for 27 years. And because of the Cambodia accused him of colluded with America to overthrow the government in Cambodia. That is in the past. So the relationship with America and Cambodia in the past was a little bit sour. And so now, since Prime Minister Hun Manet sent a letter to Norway to nominate President Trump for Nobel Peace Prize after President Trump called for ceasefire between two countries, the government in Cambodia kind of like, you know, cheer and triumph to see the effective of the President Trump, the United States, you know. So the whole country holding up a President Trump wife and himself and also say thanks to President Trump for helping to stop this war. So in your opinion, what Cambodian should do to show the world that Cambodia really need really peace, because like right now seems like the peace is kind of like a little bit awkward for Cambodia to say.
Well, it's interesting that you bring those points up because, yes, we did see the letter, the nomination for the Nobel Peace Prize, but are those empty gestures with respect to still having, you know, the internal strife inside Cambodia by continuing to maintain the incarceration of an opposition leader? Now, those are internal issues that certainly should be resolved in good faith, because if you have an opposition leader that supposedly tried to effect a coup against Cambodia by using the United States as well, then why would you nominate the President of the United States for the Nobel Peace Prize in the same breath? So I think that there are certain things that, if all those points, you know, are in fact true, then Cambodia does have a lot of resolution to step forward in good faith to say, listen, we are a changed nation. We support Donald Trump and his mission of peace. We support Donald Trump and his mission of trade and commerce and tariffs. And we want to make Cambodia great again, just like Donald Trump wants to make America great again. But the only way that we can make Cambodia great again is to atone for any of the actions that have put a blemish on the history of Cambodia relations with America and the internal corruption. So just like the United States, just like President Trump, he's going into the United States government and he is taking all the corruption out. He's taking all the bad people out. He's draining the swamp, if you will. So Cambodia needs to do the exact same thing by draining the swamp, getting rid of the corruption, and making amends with the opposition. Now, in the United States, there's quite a lot of opposition against President Trump. I mean, you know, they tried to do lawfare and courts and assassination attempts against him. So there's, and now President Trump is finding out where all of the crime is inside of our own institutions, and he's cleaning it up. Mm-hmm. So I think that Cambodia can follow the lead of America by saying, listen, let's go ahead and let's make Cambodia great again. Let's follow Donald Trump's lead. Let's drain the swamp in Cambodia and let's fix it. I think that that would probably be the best way so that they can rectify suddenly wanting to give the Nobel Prize while at the same time they haven't addressed some of the main problems. So I think that's what they should do.
You know, look at Thailand, capture 18 Cambodian soldiers, right? Mm-hmm. So Cambodians so much want the Thai to release the 18 soldiers. But also government in Cambodia also arrest one of the Cambodian commentator on Facebook live every day. His name is Sondara, and he live in Paris. He always come up to a live show, criticize the government in Cambodia. You know, you should not be corrupt. You should be uphold democracy, promote democracy, promote human rights, and criticize of the any judicial reform in Cambodia. So his father was arrested by charging of selling drugs, and his father is a current soldier in Cambodia. But because of political motivation, his father was arrested immediately and locked up as a hostage in Cambodia. So Cambodian government also want to the Thai to release the hostage. So why would Cambodia itself arresting, you know, its own people, their father that is innocent, doesn't have any guilty, he's just an innocent. So why would Cambodia do that? So this is a very bad image to the international community. So how do you elaborate to that, Mr. Gary?
I'm not privy to all the facts in the case. Yeah. It sounds like a political retribution. You know, the son who is vocal, speaking out against the corruption in Cambodia. So what does Cambodian government do? They punish the son by arresting the father. It was very, very dangerous situation to be in. You know, that's actually very scary to consider that being a possibility, that if someone you know is speaking out across the country, across the world, that they would try to punish your family back at home. It does create a conflict with respect to, you know, free speech, and you know, I'm not sure what the young reporter was speaking about specifically, but sometimes, you know, when you speak truth to power, there are people that don't want you to speak. There are people that just want to make you quiet, and they'll do anything that they can to shut you down. And in this case, it appears as though they use the father to get to the son, and it's a shocking and very sad case.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. My last question. This is for the first time the Cambodian community in the United States, particularly Cambodian Associate of North Carolina, Association of North Carolina and South Carolina, will proudly recognize and present you and Michael Alfaro with an award for your brave effort to uncover the truth about the ongoing border conflict. So this recognition will take place in September 7 in Spartanburg, South Carolina. So how do you feel of going to receive this such an honor?
I don't do this work to receive honor. I do not do this work to receive glory or thanks. I do this work because it needs to be done and the message needs to get out. That being said, I'm honored that the community of South Carolina and North Carolina, the Cambodian community there, feel that my work is worthy of such an honor. So I humbly accept, but I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. I'm only doing what needs to be done to help people understand the truth for whatever the cause may be. I've been doing reporting for over 20 years on so many different topics, and I have received awards for my reporting over the years. So I'm deeply blessed. I'm deeply honored to have this opportunity. But again, I only do this because it needs to be done, not because I'm doing it so I can receive an award. And I thank the people of South Carolina and North Carolina, the community there, and I look forward to meeting them and sharing in the celebration of the moment.
Thank you so much. If other Cambodian community in different states host similar events, would you willing be attend and participate?
If they want to invite me, I'll certainly consider. But I don't plan on going on a national tour to continue accepting glory. Yeah. What's more important is that we get the message out to the American people and to the world community. But if going to those locations will help further the message to solidify those communities in truth and in peace, then I will go.
At the end, do you have any message to the world, to the Cambodian around the world?
Pray for peace. Just pray for peace. Continue to highlight the work that we're doing, share the work that we're doing so that more people can see it, so the White House can see it, because it's truly the reason that we are seeing the Secretary of Defense go to Cambodia, the reason we're seeing the congressional delegation going to Cambodia is only because Michael Alfaro went to the border. And he went to the border after we had a conversation on the phone. And he said, Gary, you won't believe what's happening in Cambodia with the highway renaming and the Nobel Prize. And then, of course, with what happened with the barbed wire on the border in the village. So, you know, it's only because we're shining a light on these moments and people are paying attention and people are sharing and people are talking about it that we're actually able to move the needle closer to peace. So just keep watching and keep sharing and keep praying.
Thank you so much, Mr. Gary Frenchie, for joining us, and thank you for your time. I really appreciate that.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure being here.
Thank you so much. បាទយើងខ្ញុំសូមអរគុណលោកអ្នកនាងដែលបានខិតខំតាមដានចំណាយពេលជាមួយនឹងសារព័ត៌មាន The Cambodia Daily តាមបណ្ដាញសង្គម Facebook បាទនៅពេលស្អែកយើងនឹងជួបគ្នាសាជាថ្មីទៀតបាទសូមអរគុណនិងសូមជម្រាបលារីត្រីសួស្តី